Greetings, Sun Sounds listeners, and welcome to the Philosopher Program. This is your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. And I am happy to report that I finally tracked down a September-October issue of Science of Mind, Guide for Spiritual Living. And the theme for this month is Transcendent Purpose. And the daily guides were written by Mary Davis. There must always remain in every life some place for the singing of angels, some place for that which in itself is breathless and beautiful. Howard Thurman. With overflowing love, I offer to you, my friends, this daily conversation about finding the way home to our passion and purpose. After 30 years of reading Science of Mind magazine's daily guides, I travel full circle by bringing these reflections to you. Gratitude rises within me for the gift of your loving presence on this journey of the Spirit. May the following meditations illuminate the unique and beautiful calling of your soul. Mary Davis is a wisdom seeker, spiritual teacher, visionary, graphic artist, and mystic entrepreneur. She is the author of Everyday Spirit, a daybook of wisdom, joy, and peace, and the Everyday Spirit Gratitude Journal. After receiving her nursing degree, she spent many joyful years as a musician, songwriter, producer, piano teacher, and yoga instructor. She completed her Compassionate Bereavement Counseling certification in 2017 and works with parents who have lost children and those in hospice end-of-life care. She has a house by the sea and lives a contemplative life in harmony with nature. An updated hardcover edition of Everyday Spirit is available now. Learn more at everydayspirit.net. Begin with peace in your heart. Go to the center of your inner being and radiate peace in every direction. Our wings are small, but the ripples of the heart are infinite. Amit Ray. In this love, I embrace the world and affirm that peace shall come on earth and goodwill exist among people everywhere. Ernest Holmes. We are here together in this moment in history to create a more just, compassionate, and peaceful world. It's easy to be overwhelmed by the need, immobilized by the scope. But remember, none of us is responsible for holding it all. Our small contribution can make a difference in the part of the world within our reach. Today at noon local time, and this was on Sunday, September 21st, people around the world will observe a minute of silence in honor of the International Day of Peace. This quiet moment offers us a chance to contemplate our personal contribution to a more peaceful world. Peace on earth begins with peace in your heart. Use your daily spiritual practice to nourish your soul and locate the coordinates of the calm center within. From your calm center, use the power of prayer to send radiant light to the planet and to all suffering beings. From your calm center, use the power of your words to uplift and empower, to build up and bring together. From your calm center, use the power of your actions to show up, volunteer, donate, organize, join a cause. Love, prayer, and compassionate action are not the stuff of spiritual lightweights, but the greatest, most powerful forces in the universe. Our united message of oneness can become a massive beacon of divine light. We are together now for just this reason. Let's light the way, shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, lantern to lantern. Here we stand, souls on deck, illuminating the path of one love, one light, one peace. Affirmation. I am an infinite, radiant being of love and compassion. I move through the world today as an instrument of peace. Welcome a new season in life. Let this be the season of focusing on what matters most. Let this be the season of falling in love with the process of becoming more aware of how you can breathe more deeply right here. Morgan Harper Nichols. Everything is continuously being recreated, and it literally is true that the creative spirit is forever making a new heaven and a new earth. Ernest Holmes. Today we welcome a new season and an equinox, a twice-a-year event when the sun is directly over the equator and the hours of daylight equal the hours of darkness. The equinox can represent a place of balance between opposites, day and night, light and dark, planting and harvesting, rest and activity. Since my mother died, I have felt suspended in time between opposites, not here and not there. My old life ended, and my new life has not begun. I'm not her caretaker as I once was, yet I am caring for the affairs of her life. I'm living in the land between grief and gratitude, endings and beginnings, rushing and resting, doing and being. Often in life we find ourselves waiting, in a place of mystery, expectation, and hope. It's not altogether comfortable to be in the space that precedes the main event. It requires patience while we watch and listen for signs. But waiting is not idle time or merely a void between meaningful places. Waiting has sacred purpose. Even our souls love preparation, a holy repose. We thirst for the quiet that fills us and grows us, readying us for higher consciousness and deeper understanding. If you are here with me in this place of unknowing, let's rest together and listen for the call of this new season. Let's be patient. Let's be awake for a silent sunrise. Let's honor the sacred purpose of transitions, preparing our hearts for new life and new beginnings. Affirmation. I invite this new season to remind me that for every ending, there is a new beginning. For every night, a sunrise of hope. And from the Daily Word, published by Unity, World Peace. I bless the world with thoughts of peace. The word shalom is synonymous with the word peace, but it means more than an absence of war and conflict. Shalom, appearing so frequently in the Bible, is also used to affirm wholeness and well-being. True, lasting well-being requires the kind of peace known by living in alignment with God, with Spirit, with the universe. Anchored in peace, people are less likely to be in conflict and more likely to appreciate that the beautiful planet Earth offers goodness and abundance for all. When I pray for a peaceful world, I pray shalom for myself and for each person of every land to have their needs met, to know lasting well-being for themselves and their families, to live in harmony, and to work toward our common good. Balance. I honor the rhythm of life. All nature moves in rhythm, cycling through phases of action and rest, stability and change. Both are essential parts of a greater whole and equally necessary for a balanced ecosystem. These patterns teach me to honor life's ebbs and flows. I see these cycles repeating throughout my life. At times, I move with steady footing as if walking on solid ground, capable of handling whatever comes my way. I move with ease. But there are also times when life feels like I'm walking a tightrope and finding equilibrium requires more effort. In these moments, I remember that balance is fluid, shifting with the seasons. So too with the seasons of life. As I adjust and adapt, I find solace in spirit, trusting that even if I stumble, I will find balance again. And from Mark Nepos, The Book of Awakening, Having the Life You Want by Being Present to the Life You Have, Where We've Been. I have been born again and again, and each time I have found something to love. Gordon Parks. Our ability to find something to love and to love again for the first time depends greatly on how we resolve and integrate where we've been before. A great model for us exists in the chambered nautilus, an exquisite shell creature that lives along the ocean floor. The nautilus is a deep-sea form of life that inches like a soft man in a hard shell, finding his prayers along the bottom. Over time, it builds a spiral shell, but always lives in the newest chamber. The other chambers, they say, contain a gas or liquid that helps the nautilus control its buoyancy. Even here, a mute lesson in how to use the past. Live in the most recent chamber and use the others to stay afloat. Can we, in this way, build strong chambers for our traumas, not living there, but breaking our past down till it is fluid enough to lose most of its weight? Can we internalize where we've been enough to know that we are no longer living there? When we can, life will seem lighter. It is not by accident that the nautilus turns its slow digestion of the bottom into a body that can float. It tells us that only time can put the past in perspective, and only when the past is behind us and not before us can we be open enough and empty enough to truly feel what is about to happen. Only by living in the freshest chamber of the heart can we love again and again for the first time. Center yourself and close your eyes and imagine the passages that have brought you to who you are. Inhale evenly and see which passage holds the most feeling. Breathe steadily and ask yourself, is the past living in me, or am I living in this passage of the past? Do nothing today. Simply be with what your heart answers. Tomorrow, share the feeling with a friend. We return to Science of Mind for Eugene Holden's personal affirmations, Transcendent Purpose. The point is you. Have you ever thought to yourself, what's the point? You're the point. The infinite presence expresses by means of you. You are the creative channel of the Creator. Choose to create a great day. I am a channel for the divine. I am the joy, love, grace, and power of spirit. On purpose. A transcendent life means living your purpose on purpose, tapping into what causes you to embrace yourself. The deeper we dive into who we truly are, the higher we fly in serving humanity. I gratefully and joyously live my life on purpose. My purpose lights my way with ease and grace. Wake up. Face it. It's time for us to wake up. Wake up to the truth that we are all in this together. Become aware of the source of this thing called life. Now is the time. We are the ones. Let's wake up. I am awake, aware, and alive in the knowing of myself as love. I am aware that the source of life is in everything and everyone. Thank God I am awake. It's all possible. Please understand that no matter what, you are remarkable. You've been endowed with the same creative power and intelligence that created all there is. Your word is the power of creation. The universe supports you. Therefore, it's all possible. I surrender to the good that surrounds me always and in all ways. I speak my word with conviction, knowing that the universe has my back. Everything's possible to me now, and so it is. Eugene Holden has been a student of Science of Mind and a practitioner for decades. He is a spiritual life coach, speaker, and writer. He served the World Ministry of Prayer for 10 years. And from the same issue, we turn to my favorite column. You probably guessed it, Murphy's Dogma. Murphy's Dogma, pause, P-A-W-S, with perspective. Your personal gift inventory. Dear friends, I can't sing or play the harmonica. I would like to read books, but only a few very smart poodles can do that. Octopuses and chameleons can change their color. I can change mine if I roll in the mud, but nobody is very happy when I do. Every day I hear people putting themselves down because of the things they say they can't do. The sad thing is, most people don't give themselves nearly enough credit for the things they can do. When I'm really excited, my tail wags my entire body. My ears automatically point in the direction of food being unwrapped anywhere within a block of my house. I can hear you thinking about taking me for a walk long before you begin looking for my leash. These are just a few of the many special things I can do. There are unique things about you that you may not notice or that you take for granted. I think it's time for you to take your personal gift inventory. If you think you don't have any gifts, you are mistaken and missing out on half the joy of living. I would love for you to email me a list of what you consider to be your most valuable and important gifts. Writing them down and sending them to me or someone else could be an important first step in coming to enjoy and appreciate the extraordinary person I know you are. Murphy the Human Whisperer watches over his human, Reverend Bob Luckin, when he isn't working on his column. Send your questions to murphy@csl.org. Regretfully, he cannot reply to all email. And from the same issue, an article by Barbara Doran Drew, Living Fully at the Intersection of Our Divine Purpose and Worldly Purposes. I am. In the fall of 2024, my husband Walter and I retook the Foundations of Science of Mind 10-week course. Our first experience with it was in the winter of 1997, a few months after becoming members of the then Church of Religious Science of Santa Fe. My personal evolution and understanding of my purpose in this lifetime is a result of those intervening years of study and engagement in the science of mind philosophy put forth by Ernest Holmes, as well as with offerings of other spiritual teachers. Holmes captures the essence of how purpose works in the science of mind. Let us feel that our purposes are animated and inspired from on high, and then let us go forth and make our dreams come true in human experience. With an invisible intelligence to guide and an immutable law to direct, let us take our place in any legitimate activity and thus cause our dreams to come to full fruition. Page 477. Back in 1996, when my path first intersected these teachings, I knew the strongest motivating force in my life was consciousness work, but I didn't understand the big picture of how things worked, why I was here, and what my purpose was within this earthly experience. I was even less familiar with the idea of a unique divine purpose that guided my life, or that I myself was spirit in form, and as such, an empowered being, whole, perfect, and complete in my essence. A framework for understanding our purpose. International spiritual teacher, author, and facilitator Thomas Hubel, whose foundational teachings are in many ways similar to those of Holmes, focuses on integrating modern science with the mystical, or timeless, principles of ancient wisdom traditions. In his introduction to the February 16, 2025 session of his monthly Mystic Cafe, Hubel provided a useful framework for understanding the purpose in our lives. Hubel described two tracks to purpose. One track goes beyond what he calls the capitalistic version of purpose as career to a more holistic version, which includes our self-expression, plus our capacity to heal ourselves. It involves accepting the circumstances into which we've been born, our families, location, and the difficulties we faced. In essence, owning our journey as these challenges gave us the resources to evolve and grow wiser. The other track of purpose, he said, is listening to deeper levels of life, to a more fundamental intelligence than our own personal, individual, often separate intelligence. As he explained, nobody has a purpose alone, but we have a purpose in relationship to the world, and we have a purpose in relationship to the divine. And that cross is our journey that comes from somewhere, goes to somewhere, and has a horizontal expression. That means I'm taking something from this world, and I'm giving something into this world, and all of these energy streams compose our life. This point of intersection is the I Am presence, where we are fully conscious and able to connect to what Hubel calls our agency, the feeling that we can co-create the world with others, have influence on it, and do something about our situation. We recognize that we are a gift to this world with whatever skills we have and what we want to contribute when we become aware of a need. Uncovering our purposes. How do we uncover what our purposes are? My divine or transcendent purpose was revealed in a visioning exercise in a spiritual practices course in 2011. When I asked what was Spirit's highest vision for my life, the words that came were, to be a bridge between the spiritual and material realms, assisting others in knowing their true divine identity and manifesting it. On reflection since then, I found that this purpose takes the following different expressions, which I wrote about and declared publicly in our final project in the 2024 Foundations course, a piece I titled, I Am. I am a singer touching hearts through music. I am a priestess sharing ancient wisdom for the modern journey. I am a writer creating word tapestries of purpose and inspiration. I am a mother, cheering our children on to follow their own distinctive destinies. I am a complementary partner to my mate of lifetimes, two strong equal forces saying yes when the universe calls us to our next assignment. I am a teacher and facilitator, guiding minds to their innate wisdom within. I am a light bearer, illuminating the darkness with consciousness. I am a synthesizer, focusing on what connects us all, rather than what separates us. I see the unity in disparate things, while valuing what makes each of us unique. I help the unintelligible become accessible, the distant near, the confusion clear. making declarative statements about the various ways our purpose reveals and demonstrates itself has power. It draws to us ways to express our purpose in form. To discover your purpose and see how it manifests in the various aspects of your life, you may find that the following questions provide some insight. What is your fuel? What excites you? Where do you have the feeling that you are learning, growing, and meaningfully contributing? How do you feel when you are doing what you love? Spiritual laws assist our expression. In these past decades, within this teaching, I learned how spiritual laws assist us in our life expression. As spiritual beings, whatever we think, we create. We are able to call in forces to support us in whatever we need in the moment. As we do so, life opens up in all its wonder, awe, and joy. We step into it with gratitude and vision, and new pathways reveal themselves. I speak my word for something, and it materializes. What seems like magic is the law of the universe, which always responds affirmatively to me and to all of us. Once my thinking is clear, the law of attraction draws it to me. I do not need to make an effort, but instead can allow ease, grace, and flow to be the foundation of my being. All is possible as I open to it, allow it to be my truth. For truth comes to all who invite it. Those with minds open at the top, receptive hearts, bodies that serve as stewards of our planet, spirits that join with the highest forces in the universe for good. The Foundations course offers many practices to help us get in touch with who we are and why we are here. I learned that my spiritual tools are my companions on the journey toward embodied wholeness and oneness with the divine. Affirmations declare the essence of my being, what I aspire to bring forth more concretely. Meditation calms my soul, softens my heart, and clears my mind. Spiritual mind treatments align me with the oneness of the divine, and I claim its presence in all aspects of my life. Visioning allows spirit to come through directly with wisdom and understanding as I release any beliefs, attitudes, patterns, or old stories that stand in the way of embracing the new, expanded possibilities for my own life, that of my community, and even the cosmos itself. Forgiveness keeps me in right alignment with myself and others. Journaling puts me in touch with my own highest wisdom, which comes through with guidance and love. Mind mapping expands connections and reveals the interrelatedness of like things. My embrace of the law of circulation keeps me in the flow of good. Silence brings me more fully into the present moment. Taking spiritual classes with others accelerates the development of my being and my work in the world. There is a last phase to the fulfillment of our purpose. Claiming the truth of our personalized divine essence, expressing gratitude and releasing, and thus unleashing our purpose into the universe. The following is my declaration. How would you state yours? I claim my wholeness, perfection, and completeness, for I am spirit in form. Gratitude fills my heart, and clarity fills my mind as I open to my next life adventure and evolutionary expression. I release these words to go forth into manifestation, which I welcome with curiosity and joy. And so it is. Each of us embarks on a magnificent journey, albeit sometimes fraught with challenges to overcome. To express our unique divine and worldly purposes, which truly are one and the same. These times call for us to do so perhaps more than ever before. As Holmes encourages us in The Science of Mind, the highest mental practice is to listen to this inner voice and to declare its presence. The greater a person's consciousness of this indwelling I am, the more fully they will live. Truth comes to all who invite it. I speak my word for something and it materializes. What seems like magic is the law of the universe, which always responds affirmatively to me and to all of us. Once my thinking is clear, the law of attraction draws it to me. And from the same issue, we turn to the column, A World That Works for All, from Reverend Obakeng Iyar Gaitate. Apologies if I've mispronounced his name. Transcendent Purpose. In a world teeming with challenges, opportunities, abundance, and poverty, this is the season we each must let the transcendent purpose hidden within to burst forth as a shining light in its full majesty and splendor. Transcendent purpose is a high calling, a sense of meaning that goes beyond personal gain, ego, or immediate needs. It is rooted in spiritual awareness, universal connection, and the desire to contribute to the greater good. This purpose is naturally hidden within each of us, a true state of our being. Transcendent purpose emerges when we recognize our unity with the divine and seek to express that truth through conscious thought, loving action, and service to humanity. It is purpose infused with spiritual depth, where work is aligned with universal principles of love, peace, creativity, abundance, wholeness, health, and joy. In practice, a transcendent purpose inspires us to live not just for ourselves, but for something larger, healing communities, protecting the planet, uplifting others, or advancing justice and equality. It is both deeply personal and universally relevant. Each of us is a unique expression of infinite intelligence whose thought is creative, and through conscious alignment with divine principles, we each become co-creators of our own destiny. This insight compels us to align our spiritual awareness with global responsibility. Transcendent purpose arises when we move beyond self-interest and recognize our interconnectedness with all life. There is one life. That life is God's, spirits, the universe's life. That life is my life now. If we truly believe this, then the suffering of others becomes our concern, and the health of the planet becomes our sacred trust. The world does not need more apathy. It needs awakened individuals who see themselves as agents of divine purpose. As we merge with the inner journey with outward action, we embody a transcendent purpose that honors both spirit and humanity. And Reverend is a CSL minister and entrepreneur, affectionately known as Rev G. He's an author, accountant, business coach, and economist. We pause for a moment to remind you that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, 24 hours of programming from over 300 publications, and you are currently listening to the Philosopher Program with your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. We return now to Channeled Messages from Deep Space, Wisdom for a Changing World by Mike Dooley with Tracy Farquhar, who, if you're just joining us, Tracy channels a group called Frank, who come from another universe, another planet, and they've learned how to travel without their bodies or spaceships, and they go to other planets and offer advice, sharing things that they've experienced in their world that might help us in ours. And we're nearing the end. We have been reading from Part 5, Asking Better Questions. And Mike says, throughout the formulation of All I Asked Frank, I was mindfully aware of the old adage, there are things you know, and there are things you know you don't know. But it's the things you don't know, that you have to be careful about. Not being able to get out of my own head and see the shortcomings to my line of questioning, I thought I'd offer some catch-all questions, asking Frank what else I should be asking, in an effort to leave no stone unturned in our quest to ultimately share some of their lofty world views. And we're at one now where Mike asks, what are 10 questions that you would ask of a more advanced civilization? And then could you please answer those questions as if we had asked them of you? What we would like to point out initially is that there are many different types of advancement when it comes to individual beings, societies, and civilizations. And so when one is referring to a more advanced civilization, we would wonder what type of advancement it is that makes this civilization comparatively superior. Is it their technological advances, their advances in social living, environmental care, compassionate justice, intellectual capacity, spiritual awareness, or perhaps an evolutionary advancement that includes all of these? We have encountered a fair number of civilizations at various levels of advancement in all of these areas, And we would not categorize any of them as necessarily superior or inferior to our society or yours. Rather, they're simply at a different place in their evolution, which will inevitably be different for every species of being. However, we can conjecture that your definition of superior advancement includes all the areas mentioned, and so we will proceed with some rumination based on that. 1. What, if anything, do you feel you sacrificed in the name of scientific, technological, or intellectual advancements? Do you feel there were losses or a sense of disconnection from other forms of your society's lives, such as a connection to the natural environment, ritual, spiritual development, family life, or a sense of recreation and amusement? And if there were sacrifices made in any of these areas, was the advancement of your species in other areas worth the loss? There was a time when the scientific advancement of our civilization became more important and more respected than any other view on the nature of reality. As such, we lost touch with the more spiritual aspects of interconnectedness, love, compassion, and self-respect. We became so absorbed in the search for what we felt was concrete reality, based on the truth that we believe was limited by what we could experience through our own physical senses, that we began to see the consequences of our actions on the fate of the planet and all its inhabitants. It was only when we took an expanded view of science that included the spiritual nature of reality that we started to shift back to a more compassionate, mindful, and conscious species. And so we are convinced that a narrow view of reality that is based solely on what can be proven, while sometimes necessary and fruitful, negates a huge portion of reality that goes beyond those theories and experiments and explores the nature of the soul, being, and conscious energy. 2. Has your scientific community integrated the study of the spiritual realms into its fields of research? And if so, how has this changed your society? If there was resistance to this study, how did you overcome it? And how has this field of study affected the belief systems of your general population? See the above for part of this answer. There was quite a bit of resistance to this new sense of reality, especially among those whose lives were dedicated to scientific research and theory. There were many egos that needed shifting during this phase, as their identities were threatened by the perceived negation of their work. It was only when it was understood that this was truly an expansion of their work, not a dismissal of it, that minds began to open and different types of theories began to emerge. As you are experiencing on your planet at this time, there will always be those who feel threatened by change and who will do anything within their power to negate it, especially when it feels threatening to their perception of reality. Gentle, compassionate persistence is needed during these times, as force will only cause more vigilant resistance. There remains among us a small group of what you may refer to as anarchists, who steadfastly cling to some of the old beliefs, despite many of the advances that have been experienced through the new field of study. These groups live largely separate and isolated from the general population, and their numbers are dwindling as the centuries go by. 3. How do you value the work of others? In a highly evolved society, are there still those who contribute in what may be considered mental or physical labor jobs, or are there automated systems that have taken the place of manpower? How do your citizens occupy themselves and find value and purpose in their lives? Our structure is based largely on a system of exchange, which allows the time, energy, and expertise of each individual to be rewarded by an equal amount of energy through trades of services and goods. In a practical sense of energetic measurement, and in the experience of energy from an incarnated standpoint, an equal amount of energy would be measured in time and space. As a form of energetic exchange, one would consider the amount of time, skill, and physical materials that went into the work being performed. For instance, if a repair is made to a structure, consideration would be given to the time put into that repair, the materials used, and the skill level of the individual performing the job. If this individual is an expert at this type of work, the value of the work would be in accordance with that skill set. If the individual were an apprentice or beginner, the expectation of the quality of that work may be lower, and as such, so would the value. And so consideration would be placed upon what would be a fair energetic exchange in terms of time, skill, and quality of work. This craftsman could expect an exchange in the form of some good or service that required a similar amount of time, expertise, and quality as that which he expended. Of course, value is a very subjective term. When one is in need of something, its value to that individual increases. And so it may sometimes occur that this scale of time, skill, and quality is not exactly equal in the exchange, but as it is determined and agreed upon by the parties who are participating in the exchange, there is no sense of it being dissimilar. As such, an example may be that the craftsman who performs a repair that requires a full day of work and a fair amount of materials may find equality in the exchange of a food preparation service that may not take as much time and may entail fewer materials but has equal value, as it is something he is unable to provide for himself, and it is something that he prizes. So the equal amount of energy is not always a logical exchange, but rather it is subject to the sense of value one places on the service or goods. In this way, it is similar to the monetary system, which often values certain things in a way that is separate from the time, skill, and quality of the item, and focuses on the desirability of that which is being offered. But with the absence of the intervention of money, the value is determined in agreement between the two parties, and not by some external entity. As this system has evolved, the sense of a rigid exchange of equal time, energy, and talent has loosened, and we have found that the elimination of monetary exchange has allowed those who were only poorly compensated to be more valued, and their skills better rewarded without the judgment that the symbolic structure of money could place on it. Therefore, there is a much greater sense of equality among those whose energy contributes to the well-being of society, and less of a sense of privilege and poverty. Those who are unable to contribute in a physical way find other ways to be of service, and those who are unable to participate at all are cared for without being trivialized or pitied. These types of transactions have created benefits that we could not foresee, and it has truly incited one of the most amazing shifts that we have experienced on our planet. 4. What are you still striving for? What dilemmas occupy the great minds of your society? Have your people gotten better at self-care and self-love? And how do you express your individuality within the social structure? There is another question within the pages of this book that deals with some of the current dilemmas we face. But what we would like to stress here is that there will always be dilemmas, issues, and conflicts in a physical society and among its people. This is not because we are failing to address them or because we are not acting correctly in our striving for betterment and higher consciousness, but it is in the very nature of the incarnated life that we face these issues, as it is within the striving for solutions that we find our purpose, and in the mistakes and missteps that we experience the gift of learning and enlightenment. There is no sense in striving for perfection, but there is always something to be gained in looking for solutions that create more of a sense of humanity, compassion, equal treatment, and acknowledgement of each individual, while emphasizing the connection of all beings as one. As such, we no longer look at problems or dilemmas as evidence of failure, but simply as new areas in which to grow and learn. 5. What role do love and partnership play in your society? Do you still find that a family structure is the best way for individuals to find a sense of stability and support? Or is there another type of structure that works better? As already discussed, we maintain a family structure in our society, but it is a bit broader than the one that seems to be most prevalent in your own world, although we're seeing evidence of your own expansion of the definition of family to include previously unheard of types of structures. Here, we allow for structures outside of the idea of a two-parent or monogamous relationship, and often there are family structures that do not necessarily limit their members to what you would term blood relations. There are different types of group living arrangements that work well for some individuals, while others prefer a more solitary or smaller family unit. All are accepted as legitimate and respected ways of life, and our young are often cared for by the larger community, as well as by the singular parents. Because our reproductive system differs from your own, we do not have as much emphasis on coupled living, although it can be chosen by those who prefer it. What is most important is that the individual's choice is supported and honored, and that any who find themselves alone and in need of assistance will receive it. 6. What aspirations do you have for your future generations? Where do you hope your children will find passion, purpose, and focus in their lives? And what are the hindrances to that? We are quite hopeful that future generations will be focused on self-expression and the fulfillment of their innermost passions and desires. We have certainly come a long way toward this type of lifestyle, especially since the advent of a non-monetary society. However, there will sometimes exist a judgment of what work is considered useful and practical, and what is sometimes seen as frivolous and unnecessary. As such, the more creative beings sometimes face a stigma of not being authentically contributing to the good of society if they are not directly providing a good or service that is necessary to the health, well-being, and advancement of others. Many among us are able to see the power of the creative force as just as necessary and vital to the well-being of our society. But there are those whose practical mindset is quite detrimental to the self-confidence of those who are more creatively influenced in their chosen field. And so we will continue to strive toward a more open and encouraging society, toward the arts of all types, and will continue to encourage those who find their gifts in these areas that need to be expressed in some way among those who wish to experience them. 7. How do you resolve conflict between leaders or communities? How have you overcome issues of violence and warfare? Does this type of aggression still exist in your world? We have come a long way in this area, but we have also come to understand that violence and aggression are part of the incarnated experience, and that there will always be those among us who are unable to control these and similar urges. As such, there are isolated incidents of violence in our society, usually perpetrated by those who are experiencing some type of psychological distress or who have been wronged themselves in some way. As we continue to advance in the fields of psychological study and we continue to develop methods for helping those with an aggressive nature to express their needs in a nonviolent way, we find that these incidents are less common. Our societal structure has never been one that was nationalized. This has not been something that we have ever found useful to our social structure. And while there are different forms of communities and different areas of the planet that are inhabited, separated by large expanses of uninhabited land, there's never been a need to fight over these parcels of land, nor have we ever seen these different communities as anything other than separate groups of the same types of individuals. As a result, we have not had the issues of land ownership, racism, or religious extremism that you have experienced on your planet. This does not mean that we've always lived in a sense of peace and harmony, however, as during the times of our greatest challenges, there existed those who acted out of a sense of desperation, much like those who experience poverty and hunger can react in your own world. Since those systems have changed, much of the sense of poverty and hunger has been eliminated. As such, the prevalence of violent crime has also diminished. Again, this is an area in which we have progressed enormously, but it is also one that continues to need attention and compassionate action. 8. Have you physically traveled to other planets, such as Earth? Have you been researching other life forms? And if so, what have some of your findings told you? Although we believe that our species once migrated to this planet many millennia ago from one that was dying, we have not physically traveled to other worlds. Our scientific study has been directed towards solving and alleviating the issues on our own planet and among our own people. As such, it has always been decided that our time and energy would not be best spent on space exploration. Once we were able to harness the power of the spirit to extend itself through the vast expanses of space, we did not feel it necessary to spend a lot of time and energy on physical space travel, and so it has not been something we have focused on, although it is something that interests us, and we're quite curious about others who have done so. 9. How do you have fun? What pastimes are prevalent in your world? Have you devised a system that allows for more self-exploration, self-improvement, and leisure time? If so, what are the most popular ways for your citizens to utilize this time? As we have settled into a system that allows for more leisure time and less focus on the need to amass wealth, we have found more leisure activities that are life-enhancing, relaxing, and enriching. Our artistic fields have grown to include many different types of material art and creation, including decorative arts, the use of color and light as artistic expression, and the more typical creative arts, which are similar to those on your planet. We've also found a type of self-expression through body art, which can be best explained as a sort of body decoration similar to your tattoos, but less permanent, and a wide array of theatrical performances, including dramatic stage arts, musical arts of all types, and different types of mental feats that entail a sort of focused intensity and energetic manipulation. While a great many people partake in these activities, there still remains among a small segment of the population a stigma surrounding those who practice them, as discussed previously. However, we find that when individuals are expressing themselves in a creative way, they often open themselves up to other types of interpersonal connection with others that can influence the way they serve society as a whole. 10. Have you eradicated all disease? If not, what do you find the biggest challenge to this aim? What were some of your major breakthroughs in this area? Again, this is an area where we've made great strides, especially in recent times, since the eradication of our monetary system. But we've not completely eliminated all disease, and we find that sometimes new types or mutations of disease will arise that were previously unknown. We believe that as the energetic forces of the universe are in a state of constant change and flux, this will create many different types of life forms, including those that can cause disease within the bodies of physical beings. And so while we continue to make great strides in the areas of health, immunity, and healing, we have found the need for continued research and development in this area. Currently, we are researching a type of parasite that seems to have evolved from a non-invasive and benign type of creature to one that is causing cognitive and behavioral disease among children. We are at present very close to a preventative measure and the eradication of this deadly species, and it is where a good deal of our research and focus have been for quite a long time. Mike asks, do you have 10 questions for us? 1. Do you realize how far you've come in the realm of evolutionary consciousness in just the past 200 or 300 years? This is something that is quite remarkable to us. When we observe your culture from the standpoint of an observer, we see massive changes in the way compassion has grown to value the lives of all beings. The treatment of children, the elderly, aspects of labor and race, advances in health care, the eradication of poverty in many sectors, efforts to support your environment and include more spiritual upliftment in education, support of alternate lifestyles and self-expression, advances in awareness about the purity of food and diet, and a general growth of open-minded curiosity about the universe and your place in it have all grown exponentially. It is true that all of these areas still have a need to further their advancement, but we would like to point out that there have been significant changes in all these aspects of life in a relatively short period of time. We would like to ask, is this not evidence of your ability to create change and direct the course of your future? 2. Do you understand that everything you seek in the external world already exists within you? And do you understand the immense implications of that? For herein lies the crux of your current dilemmas, whatever they may be. As you look to others for the answers, you ignore your own sense of inner knowing, your own connection to divine knowledge and source energy, and your own ability to direct the course of your future by directing the flow of your energy. This is not something that is to be taken lightly. However, it can be approached with the utmost joy and delight, as it is what you have been looking for all your lives as individuals and as a cultural whole. The answers you seek are within. Unlock your energetic potential, and you will find the great joy of living. 3. Are you willing to release the belief that you are a limited physical being who must strive for certain prescribed attainments in a predetermined course of existence in order to achieve any level of success or reward? Are you ready to let go of the ideas that you have been taught to you in favor of those that resonate with your inner being and more closely link this incarnate experience with your highest spiritual aspect of being? There are many who are not feeling ready to release themselves from the anchor of awareness that is rooted in the physical, in the commonplace, in the predictability of the course that has been laid out by their ancestors and that they have determined as truth. What we are proposing in all our work with you is that you determine a new truth, that you observe the trajectory of your planet's past as evidence of how new truths have created better systems, that you continue to advance your awareness of the preciousness of life, and that you have an even greater sense of your participation in the grand design of the universe. 4. Have you heard the birds singing today? Or felt the caress of air upon your face, or the warmth of a hand in yours, or the cool grass beneath your feet? Can you bring your awareness into these simple pleasures as part of your daily habits? These small acts of appreciation will go a long way in creating the shift in your consciousness that is needed to participate in the global shift toward more awareness, more compassion, and more connection with the energy of all things. 5. Why are you so resistant to change? What is it about the illusion of security and continuity that makes you feel anchored to your present reality? We would suggest that you observe all aspects of the natural world as they are in a constant state of flux, and as you are an integral part of this natural environment, your energetic state is also one of perpetual change. It is an inevitable part of your existence, and we would highly recommend that you find the same acceptance and delight in this process for your own lives as you see in your natural world. 6. What will it take for you to love yourself? Is perfection your ideal? If so, you will forever be chasing an illusion that has been created solely in the ego, which is the seat of your individuality, and thus wants you to continually strive to assert that individuality. This sense of yourself is important to the way you function in the world. However, the illusion of separation that it creates can perpetuate other illusions and ideals that are unattainable and that lead to a constant state of lack and disappointment with oneself. Loving oneself creates a healthy ego, creating a sense of balance between all the aspects of being, including the mind, spirit, ego, physical body, and heart. And this can bring you into a state of balance with all of creation and with all the beings who share your space. Within that balance lies the joy of existence and the strength and determination to rise above and learn from any challenge, no matter how great. And so we will ask again, what will it take for you to love yourself? 7. How do you determine your sense of truth? Is it what most agrees with the way you were taught or raised? Is it what your political party or social class structure or circle of friends or the teachers in your life dictate to you? Are you adopting the belief systems of others as your own simply because you resist the responsibility of finding it for yourself? Do you go along with things that do not really resonate with your inner knowing simply because you feel you must align yourself with a certain sector and not feel alone or different or odd? This is a time of new truths being born, just as stars are born in the universe, each with its own chemical composition and brilliance, not dependent upon those that came before it. Do not let your brilliance be drowned out by traditions rooted in fear. You have each within yourselves the potential to be a trailblazer and a leader within these most fertile creative times. How are you honoring this gift? 8. How does it make you feel to practice acts of compassion and kindness? What is the energetic exchange that occurs when you connect the energy of your heart with that of another? What exactly is that light that appears in the eyes of one who is the recipient of your love and caring? Can you even adequately describe it in words? Those things that are the most difficult to put into words are the things that need to be experienced on a regular basis in order to derive the most benefit from them. We feel that the more you activate this energetic aspect of your being, the more it affects all other energetic aspects of all other energetic beings. And it is this that creates the flow of energy toward the kind of world you are imagining for yourselves. 9. What is it that you consider to be beautiful, and where have these standards originated? Do you believe that you are born with standards of beauty that make you drawn to certain elements and repelled by others? And if this is the case, why is it that children are not found to have an intrinsic sense of cultural beauty? Will your child be repelled by you if you do not have a perfectly symmetrical face or slim body or smooth skin or other culturally desirable features? Will your pet ignore you until you perform the daily rituals that are geared to make you more socially acceptable? We would like you to understand that you have integrated cultural standards into your perception of beauty and accepted them as your own personal truth. Might it be the time to broaden this perspective? 10. As a child, did you find enjoyment digging into the soil? Did you delight in the feel of the moist earth or sand or clay in your hands? Did you revel in the sense of discovery of what may be lying beneath that which you could see? Did you love finding the tiny beings or roots or pebbles hidden like treasures in the deep recesses of the soil? Here, then, is your mission as an incarnate being. Continue to dig. Continue to uncover the delights hidden within yourself, within the experience of life, within relationships and unions with others. Explore it all with the wonder, amazement, and curiosity of a child, even when those things that are uncovered are not desirable, for it is in the discovery of them that you can set them free. Farewell, Frank, until we write again. It is with the deepest gratitude that I thank you and Tracy for all the fabulous information you've provided. We are humbled and grateful for this connection and for the opportunity to share your energy, your passion, and your wisdom. It is with great reverence that we present you with these words. Know that they come with the intention of providing loving guidance through the broad perspective of those who have not only survived similar challenges to those who are now you are now facing, but who have found ways to thrive and transcend the limitations of the physical, the intellect, and the limited vantage point of the ego. You have chosen to incarnate into a most incredible era, one of great challenge, but also one of incredible resilience and diversity, great love and compassion, and a great desire for change and evolution. The bravery and force of will that motivated you all to choose this incarnation was quite remarkable, and we hope that you can find it within yourselves to feel the full force of that inner light, that divine will, and that creative spark that is no less than that of Source itself. Our greatest wish is that you experience the full richness of this incarnated experience with all of its joys and sorrows, and celebrate it all, for it is nothing less than a grand miracle to exist within the physical wonder of the universe. The bright spark of your spirit will never fade. In fact, it will continue to grow brighter throughout all of your many incarnations and realms of existence, and within that spark lies the sparks of all others, all beings, all forms of life, including your own, with the ultimate connection to the love and power of Source, which animates us all. We wish you nothing but love in all its many forms as you traverse this grand adventure, and we thank you for allowing us to share this field of consciousness with you. Many blessings are sent along to your planet from us, your servants from afar. We come to the end of our program. As always, I wish you a beautiful, joyous, and peaceful new week, and I look forward to being with you next time on our Philosopher program.